Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
He's also been a really good tool out in the community. He's made a few visits to schools.
Moorhead City Police have a new therapy dog.
A new indoor soccer league is gearing up in Round County.
The Mountain Arts Center presents the Kentucky Opry Christmas show this weekend.
Brady Industries has a new CEO.
The Better Business Bureau is warning would-be renters of a new scam.
In sports, Round County High School's basketball teams are gearing up for the EKC championship tomorrow.
But Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 18 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Moorhead City Police Department is now one of the few departments in the country to utilize the services of a therapy dog. The dog is named Abe. He's a Labradoodle who was formally introduced during this month's Moorhead City Council meeting. Mayor Laura White Brown took time during the meeting to discuss Abe's time with the department so far and plans to use him moving forward.
He lives in the police department, so you'll see different officers and dispatchers walking him on Main Street in different spots throughout the day. He's assisting, you're going to assist in the judicial center as well when there's juveniles involved. And then he also somewhat frequently visits us here at City Hall to give us a little stress relief too. Yeah.
Less than 1% of law enforcement agencies in America use therapy dogs. Abe's services have been acquired entirely through donations.
The director of Moorhead's Parks and Recreation Department says a recently announced program has already gained a lot of traction. Matt Hamilton serves on the Round County Recreation Board, which held its monthly meeting on Monday. He says the Youth Indoor Soccer League for kindergarten through fifth grade was just announced last week, and it's already looking much bigger than he anticipated.
We've had 12,000 hits on social media already.
Wow.
For indoor soccer. So we were trying to start it out small to kind of get our feelers out, but I think it's going to be a home run right out of the gate, I think. So that's where we're at right now, and we'll see how it goes.
Signups for the league will run through January 10th. For more information, call the Moorhead Parks and Recreation Department at 784-8686.
Billie Jean Osborne's Kentucky Opry at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg is up and running this holiday season with their crowd favorite Christmas show. The cast performs universally loved carols, themed chart toppers, and sacred hymns in the seasonal spectacle. Executive Director Joe Campbell says the show includes some new takes on old classics.
We have comedy, country, a little bit of bluegrass. It's all around a good family show. It just showcases what we have here in the region. All the performers and vocalists and cast and crew are from Eastern Kentucky. So it's a great family night out. A lot of tradition, a lot of diversity in music, and it's a really good show.
The Kentucky Opry's Christmas show is running on weekends through December 21st. Tickets are available on the website at macarts.com.
Brady Industries has named Mike Otero its chief operating officer. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Otero will officially assume the position on January 6th. For the last 13 years, he's been in the country of Oman. Most recently, he served as the CEO of Oman Aluminum Rolling Mill Company, LLC. With Otero at the helm, OARC became EBITDA and cash flow positive. OARC, a $500 million greenfield aluminum rolling mill and paint line facility, is now the world's largest offshore supplier of aluminum flat-rolled products to the United States. The 49-year-old served in the United States Marine Corps Reserves from 1989 to 97. Otero will be the head of the Ashland headquarters and will live in Ashland. According to the Daily Independent, the Brady Industries mill is expected to be fully operational in East Park in 2022. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
With the inauguration of a new Democratic governor promising raises for teachers, efforts to expand Medicaid, and the protection of pensions, it will be up to the General Assembly to deliver a two-year spending plan in the coming months. The governor's office may be changing hands, but it's the Republican-led legislature that still holds the purse strings in Frankfort. While Tuesday's inauguration ceremony was all about finding common ground, GOP Senate President Robert Stivers said the question, as always, comes down to dollars.
The governor talks about increasing pay for teachers. I say you need to not just think of teachers, but all the other people, the support personnel, the bus drivers, the cooks, the janitors. But the question becomes, the real key question is how do you do it? Where do you find the money?
Former Governor Matt Bevin's budget director released a memo ahead of Beshear's inauguration warning the state will face a $1.2 billion budget shortfall over the next 2.5 years. Lawmakers return to Frankfort to begin work on a budget in January.
Newly sworn in Governor Andy Beshear made good on a campaign promise to reshuffle the State Board of Education Tuesday, but as WUKY's Josh James reports, the move is already sparking the first fight of his young administration.
File under, well, that didn't take too long. The Democratic Attorney General turned governor may soon move from one side of the courtroom to the other, with members of the Kentucky Board of Education promising to file suit after Beshear offered this applause line at his inaugural.
This morning, I reorganized the State Board of Education and appointed new members who support public education.
The decision, which appears likely to lay the groundwork for the removal of Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis, has the support of the Kentucky Education Association, but 10 of the board's 11 members plan to lodge a complaint arguing Beshear's action runs afoul of state laws requiring the governor to appoint board members in a staggered fashion every 2 years. Former board member Gary Houchins tells WDRB Beshear's reorganization is, quote, of questionable legality and must be tested in the courts. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A University of Kentucky College of Law alumni and his wife pledged $20 million to fund an endowment and a non-endowed gift for the school, which will officially be renamed for him. J. David Rosenberg, a 1974 graduate of the law school, and his wife Diane made the gift commitment. The non-endowed gift will support student scholarships, faculty recruitment and retention, as well as programs for the college, according to a university press release. The college will be renamed the University of Kentucky J. David Rosenberg College of Law. The new permanent endowed fund will be named the J. David Rosenberg College of Law Endowment. Rosenberg is a native of Lexington and lives in Cincinnati.
A new report from the Better Business Bureau says there have been losses totaling $37 million between January and October of this year related to rental fraud. With most rental scams, fraudsters copy the photo and description of a property, post it online with their own contact information, and try to get a deposit and first month's rent from the victim. Heather Clary is the Director of Communications for the BBB in Lexington. He says it's best to do your research on a property before making any transaction.
Of course, you can file a report with local police if you do lose money to one of these. We would advise actually doing some more homework ahead of time and, again, watch for those red flags. Somebody who wants you to pay without meeting you, somebody who doesn't want to conduct any kind of an interview or check on your credit history. A lot of times people want to look at that before they'll rent to you.
Clary says while many fake rental ads appear on sites like Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, they also appear on sites such as Zillow, Trulia, and Airbnb.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
A missing man from Carter County has been found, according to Kentucky State Police. 66-year-old Danny Carroll was located Tuesday, according to troopers. He went missing Sunday from the Russell Convalescent Home. According to WSAZ, details about where Carroll was found as well as how he was doing were not immediately available.
A former Marshall County University student charged with sexually assaulting two women has been released from jail. Judge Ferguson's office tells WSAZ that 22-year-old Joseph Harden's request for bond to be set was granted last Friday. His bond was set at $50,000. Harden was released on home confinement Tuesday afternoon. He was ordered to have no contact with the alleged victims. Harden is facing four counts of second-degree sexual assault. Two female Marshall students accused him of attacking them in separate off-campus incidents back in the fall of 2018. His trial is set for February 2020.
A Knox County man is in jail after officials say he took a child during a domestic altercation and hid with her outside in the rain. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
Officials were called to a home on Alex Creek Road in Knox County for a report of domestic violence early Tuesday morning. According to LEX 18, when deputies arrived, they learned that Christopher Studes had left the home and taken a 3-year-old girl with him into the pouring rain. Deputies searched the area for an hour before they found the toddler alone in the woods without a coat and crying. Stutes was found shortly after and was taken into custody following a brief altercation with deputies. He's been charged with first-degree wanton endangerment, endangering the welfare of a minor, fleeing or evading police, and more. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
The name of a Lexington man killed in Tuesday's early morning shooting has been released. Police were called to 200 block of Osage Court shortly after 1 a.m., where two men with gunshot wounds were found. LAX 18 reports 23-year-old Damon Trial Fulgham died from his wounds and another victim was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Lexington police are asking anyone in the area who has a doorbell camera or home security camera to come forward. They are looking for any footage that may help them identify the shooter. The shooting remains under investigation.
A Jessamine County woman has been arrested and charged with arson following a mobile home fire. LEX 18 reports the fire broke out late Tuesday evening. Authorities arrested 34-year-old Crystal Dumpery on the scene after police say she implicated herself as the cause of the fire. The fire was contained and put out with no injuries.
The woman accused of driving the wrong way on I-75, resulting in a wreck that killed three people, has been indicted. Tammy Rodriguez was arrested on September 4th after a crash caused during a police chase that began in Winchester. WKYT reports 26-year-old Denise Blevins and 20-year-old Danielle Bailey of Georgetown were killed in the head-on collision. Rodriguez's sister, 35-year-old Debbie Bevins, was a passenger in the vehicle at the time of the crash. She was also killed. Rodriguez was indicted on three counts of murder, one count of assault, one count of wanton endangerment, and having no license. She is expected to be arraigned in Fayette County Circuit Court on December 19th.
A Tennessee woman was indicted Monday on human trafficking charges after authorities accused her of coercing an 18-year-old into prostitution. 26-year-old Savannah Grabanow was indicted in Fayette County on charges of human trafficking, promoting human trafficking, tampering with evidence, and receiving stolen property worth more than $10,000. That's according to the Lexington Herald Leader. The victim told police that Grabano held her against her will and forced her to travel to different hotels from Knoxville to Lexington. Investigators say Grabano would supply the victim with drugs to keep her compliant. 19-year-old Elijah Bowling was indicted on charges of promoting human trafficking, and 31-year-old Jonathan Lewis was indicted on charges of evidence tampering in connection with the case. Both were also indicted on charges of receiving stolen property. All three are scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow.
Taking a look at your region's weather. This afternoon, sunny with a high near 40. Tonight, clear with a low around 21. Thursday, sunny with a high near 47. Thursday night, a 10% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Friday, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 41. Friday night, 60% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 38. Saturday, a 50% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 46. Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 31.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University has a new director of gender studies. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Dr. Bernadette Barton, professor of sociology and gender studies at Morehead State University, has been named the director of MSU's gender studies program. Barton says she came to Morehead State as a sociologist.
I got my master's in sociology, my PhD in sociology, and a graduate certificate in women's studies. And I have always been interested in social inequality, especially gender and sexuality. So I came to Morehead. I'm teaching sex and gender as well as other sociology classes. And so, no, it's very natural for me to involve myself in gender studies.
She's been interested in the topic from day one.
The Gender Studies program was founded in 1992. Mm-hmm. So it was not hadn't been around a very long time when I first got involved. And even as a visiting professor, I was very interested in being part of the program.
The undergraduate gender studies minor at MSU focuses on fostering learning and partnerships that span divisions of gender, sex, race, ethnicity, class, religion, age, able-bodiedness, and nationality. Barton says there are three elements social scientists measure sexual orientation by that others don't always take into account.
The first one is attraction, so you have to have desire. The second is behavior, and the third is identity. So when conservative Christians critique gay people as choosing it, they're missing those three dimensions. They're missing that attraction orientation element that is not controllable. And they're confusing behavior with orientation.
In taking on her new role as director of gender studies, Barton has the ability to make changes to the program.
And what I'm most interested in creating right now is raising the profile of the program so people are more aware of gender studies across the university and see us as a resource for things that are happening on campus. So if there is issues with sexual harassment, folks might come to us to help them figure out what's happening. Or there's confusion about what to do about all gender bathrooms or pronouns or name changes, that we can be a resource.
She says those changes are important because the 2016 presidential election led to a change in thinking, and not just because of who was elected.
A woman who was so qualified didn't win, and then there was so much sexism involved. And then there were the women's marches. So that has been drawn a lot of people's attention to this idea that we need to be supporting women leaders. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, I've seen a lot more media and a lot more folks openly talking about supporting women and not putting down women who are leaders and trying to combat those kinds of stereotypes.
Barton writes, lectures, and conducts research on contemporary issues of gender, sexuality, religion, qualitative methods, American culture, and the sex industry. She is author of 2017's Stripped, More Stories from Exotic Dancers, and is currently writing a fourth book titled Porn in the USA, How Raunch Culture is Ruining America. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 38 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
The Vikings will take on Boyd County tomorrow night in the final round of the AKC Championship. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. The Vikings advanced with a 69-54 win over West Carter, while the Lions grabbed a 96-56 win over Menifee in the first round. Round head coach Sean Thacker says he is happy with how well his team is growing this season.
You know, last year, you know, we didn't have to fight from behind very often. We weren't in those situations a lot. And to start out the season being in some tough, hard fought battles will iron sharpens iron. So, you know, if you go against some of the best teams around the state of Kentucky, it's going to make you better.
Tip off in Morehead Thursday is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team is also hoping to win an EKC tournament title on Thursday. The Vikings are coming off a 54-49 win over Russell at home Monday night. They'll face East Carter on Thursday. The Lady Raiders had wins over Bath and Morgan County to advance. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team knows what they have to do to be successful, but they will be relying on their seniors.
Taylor Rogers and Shelby Reiser, you know, they've got to really take on a bigger role this season. Last year, they were kind of our role players, and they went in and did the dirty work and got what we needed done. But this year, they've got to add more scoring to their game. Both of them are doing a really good job as far as rebounding, playing defense, and all that stuff. They're both great defensive players. On the offensive side of the ball, those two really have to pick it up for us.
The Vikings meet the Lady Raiders at 6 p.m. on Thursday. There are some area high school girls basketball games set to take place this evening. McGoffin County will be on the road at Prestonsburg at 6 o'clock. Ashland Blazer will be hosting Lawrence County at home for a 6:30 tip-off. And Greenup County is on the road to Ironton, Ohio, where they'll be facing Rock Hill. Tip-off for that game is slated for 7:30. After recording her second double-double of the 2019-2020 season, Morehead State Women's Basketball's Ariel Kirkwood has been tabbed as the Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Week. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Kirkwood, a 6-foot guard from Milwaukee, scored 12 points and grabbed a career-best tying 13 rebounds for the Eagles against Dayton on December 5th. The freshman also blocked 4 shots and assisted on 2 baskets in the game. Head coach Greg Todd called Kirkwood one of the top rebounders in the Ohio Valley Conference and the team's best defender. For the season, Kirkwood currently leads the Eagles in scoring, rebounding, assists, and blocks. The freshman's 9.6 rebounds per game currently ranks second in the OVC. Kirkwood and the Eagles next hit the road for a 2-game swing, taking on Michigan State on Sunday and Valparaiso on December 17th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Morehead State basketball is off this week for finals, but that doesn't mean the team isn't working hard in the gym. Head coach Preston Spradlin says this break from competition is crucial in the development of his team.
You play 10 games, and you're just not enough opportunities to work on yourself. You're spending so much time of watching other teams, watching their tendencies, figuring out what you can do to offset what they want to do, and it just takes away from, you know, the time that you're able to work with your guys on yourself. And so it's a valuable time for us to be able to do that.
MSU plays 6 of its next 7 games at home. The Eagles will be back in action Monday when they host the Marshall Thundering Herd at Johnson Arena. Tip-off for that game is at 7 p.m. The Morehead State softball team has made its 2020 schedule official. The Eagles open their new campaign on February 15th. With the first of 3 weekend invitational tournaments as they travel to Charlotte for the First Pitch Classic. From there, MSU will play in the Michelle Short Memorial Classic hosted by Central Arkansas on February 22nd through 23rd, followed by a Spartan/Pirate Classic hosted by Norfolk State and Hampton. The first home game of the season pits Morehead against Dayton in doubleheader action on March 11th. The Eagles also play several opponents on the road, traveling to Marshall, Wright State, Kentucky, Indiana, and Northern Kentucky. In OVC play, Morehead State is scheduled to host Tennessee State, defending tournament champions Southeast Missouri, UT Martin, Eastern Kentucky, Austin Peay, and Murray State. The April 26th matchup against the Racers will serve as Senior Day. Game times and live statistics for all home matchups can be found at msueagles.com. Select home games will also be broadcast on ESPN+. And finally in sports this afternoon, Morehead State Volleyball has claimed an American Volleyball Coaches Association All-Midwest Region player. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Junior outside hitter Olivia Lohmeyer garnered the honor as the AVCA announced its all-region selections Tuesday. She's only the 8th player in MSU history to earn the honor. Lohmeyer turned in one of the best junior seasons in program history, recording a record 564 kills. That ranks as the 4th best single season total in school history. Lohmeyer ended the year ranked in the top 25 in the NCAA in 6 different offensive categories. Her AVCA All-Region nod also adds to a long list of career accomplishments that include being a 2-time All-OVC First Team selection, an 8-time OVC Offensive Player of the Week, and a 2-time OVC Newcomer of the Week. Lohmeyer was also the 2018 Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball host Marshall at 7 p.m. on Monday, December 16th, and women's basketball's next home game is Thursday, December 19th, hosting Asbury College. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed slightly higher after the Federal Reserve indicated it will likely not raise rates in 2020, removing the fear among investors that it would repeat a mistake it made last year by tightening monetary policy prematurely and knocking the stock market. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 29.3 at 27,911.02. The S&P 500 was up 9.09. at 3141.61, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 37.87 as you had good strength in tech stocks, finishing at 8654.05. After the Fed announcement, Treasury yields fell broadly with the benchmark 10-year yield dropping to 1.78%. And Fed Chair Jerome Powell said in a news conference the central bank would have to see a persistent rise in inflation before hiking rates once again. The Fed had to cut rates three times this year to make up for raising rates too far at the end of 2018, which was a move that slowed the economy and caused stock prices to drop. In business news today, Boeing shares were down 0.2% after Federal Aviation Administration Chief Steve Dixon said that the recertification process for the 737 MAX will be stretched into 2020. Wall Street also kept an eye out today on the trade front, as there continues to be no clear indication that the U.S. and China will reach an agreement over trade that could stop or reduce the current level of tariffs. The U.S. is due to impose fresh duties on Chinese goods by Sunday. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.625% at $58.85 a barrel. Gold was up 0.75% at $1,479.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were quiet with the Stock 600 index inching up 0.2%. In Asia, markets were mixed with the Nikkei down 0.1%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 72 cents at 59.23, Delta Airlines down 47 cents at 55.06, Lowe's up $1.18 at 117.66, Marathon Petroleum down $1.56 at 57.11, and Valvoline was up 15 cents to finish at 22.26. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Taking another look at your region's extended forecast, this afternoon sunny with a high near 40, tonight clear with a low around 21, Thursday sunny with a high near 47, Thursday night a 10% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 31, Friday a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 41, Friday night 60% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 38, Saturday a 50% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 46.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Cody Robinson, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, Shamari Mosley, Nacogdoches Miller, Chanice D. Davis, Ty Martin, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.